Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, a 12-year-old boy urinated on an electrical outlet Friday morning at Sunnyside Intermediate School in an attempt to start a fire, police reported. God.
Hey, why not?
The boy managed to start a fire or enough smoke to set off the fire alarm. This is according to fire investigator Todd Trent.
His boy.
To the relief of many, the boy's plan failed.
His boy.
Someone hurried into the first floor boy's restroom with a fire extinguisher and put out the small fire, which was contained to the electrical outlet. As for the boy, he was arrested, accused of criminal recklessness. And he was taken to the juvenile probation intake offices. The boy's actions raise many questions. Number one among them is whether he might have shocked himself.
That was my concern.
While showering the outlet with his urine. But the fire investigator, Todd Trent, said that would not be possible if the boy was standing upright.
Say, young man, where did you get that black penis?
But neither is it likely that the urine hitting from that angle would have soaked into the outlet to create enough heat to cause a fire, Trent had said, adding that the case remains under investigation. According to MythBusters, in a show they did in 2011, the urine stream actually becomes pulses when it falls to the ground. This means that any electrical source that the urine comes in contact with will not complete the electrical circuit since the stream is broken. However, when one urinates on an electrical circuit at a close distance, there is a risk of an electrical shock.
Because it's a constant stream.
Correct.
His boy.
So by the time it gets, if you're too far away, the you can't see it perceptively with your eyes,
right,
but
right.
It breaks up into pieces, into drops. And so
pieces of piss. Sounds like a great folk band.
You wouldn't be able to be shocked from that. A Melbourne, Australia man who shot dead his only son after an argument over a burnt omelet has been sentenced to 19 years in jail. There's a little more to it than that. The quarrel,
had there been strife in this relationship prior to the omelet?
Yeah, the omelet was the final straw.
Okay, didn't sound like the first point.
For Peter John Smith, 70 years old, who had spent substantial amounts of money trying to help his son.
You've been a great son up to this omelet.
The son is Andrew. He was trying to help him get clean from a 5-year on and off addiction to meth and synthetic cannabis. At the time of the shooting last year, 30-year-old Andrew Smith had been clean for a few weeks, was working full-time and living with his parents. Andrew Smith, a father himself, this is the guy who was killed, the victim, a father himself of two young children, had been drinking with his parents at home on the evening when an argument started over dinner. He had been cooking an omelet, but after burning it, he just threw it in the backyard. So Peter Smith became very angry, saying that it could harm the family dog. And Andrew replied, F the dog and F you. You'll be dead in a year, referring to the cancer treatment that his father had recently undergone. So the argument continued, and Andrew Smith went inside to his room and shut the door. After eating dinner, Peter Smith walked to his car outside, got out his double-barreled shotgun, loaded with ammunition, and apparently he said, I'm going to kill the C-word, and then I'm going to kill myself. He said this to his wife as he walked back inside, but he must have said it very calmly, because she goes, yeah, right, of course you are. She thought he was joking. Peter then walked into his son's room, shot him twice in the body while he was lying on the bed. He died instantly. He later told police that he had just had enough. He said, it just happened. I couldn't take it anymore. It's over now. I don't have to worry. Now, the court heard the relationship between the father and son have been up and down over the years. Though they frequently argued, they were seldom violent. In sentencing, Justice Andrew Tinney said, despite the father and son's issues, there was still love and affection between the pair. But he also said, this was shocking, senseless, and inexcusable crime. So he is going to jail. He's been sentenced to 19 years in prison.
Will he make it? You know, considering his cancer, right?
Yeah, he might not.
Yeah.
A dead moose in Wyoming probably won't attract grizzly bears now that its carcass has been blown to smithereens. Bridger Teton National Forest officials used 100 pounds of explosives last Friday to get rid of the rotting moose near a trail popular with hikers and hunters.
Hasn't history taught us that this is not the way to get rid of a carcass?
Well, they think that it is. Forest officials normally do nothing about dead animals, but worry that the carcass could draw potentially dangerous animals to this popular trail.
Guess what? There's a dead moose.
They say using explosives was more practical and less gruesome than cutting up and hauling out about a half ton of rotting meat. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports the blast obliterated the carcass so it can't be scavenged by bears, wolves, and mountain lions.
Oh, my.
Yeah. A biologist determined the moose suffered from worms and had died from natural causes. But the headline gave me a new band name because the headline says Moose Bomb.
Oh. Moose Bomb.
Whoa. We are Moose Bomb. I love it.
I love this band.
All right, and then one last story. Let's go with this. Police in Snellville, Georgia, said a father was driving down Scenic Highway with his three-month-old daughter in his lap. He was pulled over. Officers said what they found in his car was much more troubling. DeTavis Madison allegedly put his infant down on the floor of his car during the traffic stop and told officer that there wasn't anyone else in the vehicle. However, when police looked through his car, they found her. They lifted her up. The officer said they found underneath the baby a stolen handgun.
Oh, my God. He put the kid down on a handgun.
The baby on top of the stolen handgun to hide the gun. When they continued their search, they allegedly found marijuana and at least 500 ecstasy pills in the shape of Lego characters. And the police lieutenant said, this is obviously a dangerous situation for that baby on many fronts. We are just glad that it turned out for the best.
Son, this is not how we do things in Snailville.
Madison faces 10 charges, including felony theft, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony, felony drug charges, and transporting a child in a passenger vehicle.
While it's a horrifying story, at least the kid is away from him now.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
Police in Kansas City, Missouri, have recovered a large inflatable colon that was stolen from a local driveway earlier this month.
The driveway had a large inflatable colon?
Yeah.
Why?
Kansas City police announced on Monday that a tip led officers to the inflatable intestine prop at a vacant house. So far, there's no suspect in custody, but they say an investigation will continue. The 10-foot wide by 10-foot tall 150-pound colon. That's big.
That is a big-ass colon.
Was purchased in 2017 by the Colon Cancer Coalition.
There you go.
And stolen from a driveway in Brookside, Missouri on October 18th.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like, okay, now I got it.
Where it had been loaded to be transported and displayed at a breast cancer 5K 2 days later. What?
It's almost like a colon carport.
It looks like a tunnel
that
you go through. But yes, it does. It actually has polyps and things like that on the inside. It's used for,
like one might find in their own bunghole.
So it's used for demonstration and educational purposes. So they found it. Everybody's happy. Everybody's safe.
Yay!
For those who are afraid of spiders, it's a nightmare come true. A man in North Rhine-Westphalia found a nasty surprise in his mailbox when he opened it to discover a tarantula inside of it. Bernd Hallebeck is the guy's name. He discovered the spider on Saturday morning. He said, I'm quite robust, but that shocked me.
I am quite robust.
The encounter with the eight-legged animal was so unexpected that Hallebeck almost picked it up with his mail. He said the idea of it now makes him shudder. He said, I was never afraid of spiders, but I am now. He later learned that the spider can sting or bite its opponent when it feels attacked or irritated. Fortunately for Hallebeck, he did not come into contact with the insect.
Later, he had remembered he had joined the Tarantula of the Month Club.
He had no idea who put the spider in his mailbox and why they did it.
It was just October's tarantula arriving.
He wanted to report it to the police, but because he had viewed it as an offense against the protection of species law and as an attempted bodily harm. However, Hallebeck claims that he was told by police that putting a spider in someone's mailbox is not a criminal offense.
It's not.
The police were unable to trace the case.
Putting a ferret in your wardrobe is.
Luckily, the fire brigade caught the spider. They put it in a cardboard box and they transported it to a nearby Hannon Zoo Center, which cares for animals, a special type of... It's a special type of spider.
Preston, is it legal to put a meerkat in a humidor?
No.
Okay.
Strangely enough, that's illegal. In Virginia, a man wanted in three jurisdictions was arrested Monday after striking 10 vehicles before climbing onto the roof of a Five Guys Burgers and Fries restaurant and hiding in an air conditioning unit.
Not to go off on a tangent here, but were you not surprised at how popular Five Guys is in London?
Yeah. In fact, I ate there.
Yeah.
We needed a quick meal, so stopped off Five Guys, got a burger. On Monday, shortly before 10 a.m., deputies responded to reports of multiple vehicle accidents. Deputies determined that the driver of a Ford pickup truck hauling a trailer holding another pickup truck crashed into vehicles, four of which were occupied when struck. Both of the pickup trucks later... returned stolen, and four subjects were transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Well, after striking the vehicle, the subject, who was intoxicated, scaled a metal pipe alongside the building and climbed onto the roof of a Five Guys, where he was found hiding in an air conditioning unit. If the guy's intoxicated, I don't know how the hell he climbed a pole up on the side of the building.
Maybe he was. Maybe he had drunk strength.
The suspect, James Edward Bauman, was wanted out of three jurisdictions, and he was incarcerated and sent to the regional jail without bond and his outstanding warrants. The investigation is ongoing, and additional charges are pending.
Now, there's a thing called beer muscles, right? But that is the illusion that you're stronger than you are.
Right.
Right.
You're never imbued with superhuman capabilities if you get drunk?
No.
Yeah. Two inmates tried to escape custody by bolting from a Washington State courtroom, and they found their way out. But the judge took matters into his own hands, and he made their run for freedom a short one. Courthouse video shows the two inmates being led from the courtroom, but instead of following orders to go back into the jail, the two men headed for the door. And that's when Judge R.W. Buzzard leaped into action.
Was he sitting on a mini bike?
I don't know. They said, I didn't know what to think by the time they hit the door. And I'm like, there's nobody between them and the street. So I wanted at least to find out where they were going. Well, both Cody Howard and Tanner Jacobson were still handcuffed when they took off. But it wasn't without a few hiccups. Howard did a face plant, lost a shoe, and then fell behind Jacobson, causing them both to fall three flights of stairs.
Wow, this is a proactive judge.
So these idiots couldn't make it out of there. But the tumble allowed Buzzard to make up ground. He said, once I got to the stairwell, I knew that I was going to be able to catch the one that was just in front of me because I immediately started gaining on him.
Super judge.
Jacobson made it out to the street, but the judge grabbed Howard at the emergency exit, and Jacobson was arrested a few blocks away. He definitely was a help to us getting them in custody, the chief of police said.
I am the law.
I said, this is not the first time, apparently, that Judge Buzzard has gotten involved in an incident, but I don't have any stories as to what those incidents were.
You boys have any plans to play rabbit?
The judge is back on the bench holding court as normal, so he helped him out.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.